Hi, welcome to Outthink. My name is Lawrence Akers. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, member of the LGBTQI community, and a passionate advocate for mental health. This week, we're chatting again to Sally Goldner. Sally is the Executive Director of Transgender Victoria, Treasurer of Bisexual Alliance Victoria, co-facilitator of the Trans Family Victoria, and was awarded the GLBTI Person of the Year Award as part of the annual Globe Community Awards in 2015 for the years of advocacy she's done towards transgender awareness.
What kind of resources exist out there for people within the trans and bi community to help discuss, to help move on from those kind of negative thoughts they may have?
Trans community in Victoria is now pretty well resourced. I'd say there's a good framework of resources, and certainly in metro area. And the simplest way, rather than rattling off a list of groups, is Transgender Victoria has put together a resource list on our website under the resources section, which lists all the groups. So there's Seahorse for trans women, for example, FTM Shed for trans men, Y Gender for younger people, and at the time of our conversation, there is the thought of getting a group for older trans people together, which I think is beginning. It's in a way great that we're needing that. The other part of it, which brings in my third hat, for family members of trans people, and we have Transcend, which involves Rebecca and the amazing Georgie Stone, who featured on Australian Story, and I've got to say personally, her story and her recently winning LGBTI Victorian of the Year is my, in a way, personal and professional highlight of my year for a 51-year-old middle-aged sort of trans chook. To see a young person just so poised and so confident, this is why we busted our buns. You know, this is a real positive, clear, transparent, tangible indicator of, hey, wow, this is what happens if we give trans people a fair start in life. You know, and so the best comment I had after she was the Australian Story thing was someone said on social media, she's 16, poised, intelligent, articulate, she could be a leader in anything, and she won't have to unload all this baggage later on. And it's like, yes. So Transcend exists. There's also parents and friends of gender diverse children. And the group that I co-facilitate, Trans Family, started out originally with myself and the mum of a trans woman who's my age, but when her daughter came out in the late 90s, coincidentally about the same time as myself, there just wasn't anything in Melbourne for parents. And it is a journey for parents and families. You know, there can be a sense of grief and loss at losing the, say, brother and becoming the sister or son and then daughter and all that sort of thing. And they need their space and, you know, need resources. So we started out, we thought, well, Transcend's doing a great job for, let's say, the teen, adolescent, teen and earlier. We'll just cover, say, over 25, but we've ended up as being the discussion group for parents, family, friends of any age, and also to some extent partners. And I think if there is a positive shift, we are seeing more partners of trans people stay with them. People are communicating, people are entering relationships and working it through, and just in a way, two people are falling in love, which is really nice, or getting together, and that's very welcome. But there's still challenges for partners at times as well. And so, yeah, they need a space, and trans families open for them as well. If there is a gap, though, I said metro, we're beginning to get somewhere in regional and rural Victoria. It's great to see there's a trans-specific clinic opening up in Albury, Wodonga, or they're just hiring now. So hopefully we can then start getting that, you know, that one, and then say one in Hamilton or Horsham and one in Gippsland and so on, and keep moving it around so people don't have to travel to Melbourne for support groups or health professionals or whatever else. So it's sort of the momentum's there, which is really good. And, you know, I think it will keep spreading, which is welcome. But I think that ties into that earlier point about health professionals, which I wanted to talk about. It's good that we're getting more, but in the end, for generalist stuff, let's say you're someone who's more comfortable with, I don't know, and I'm totally random, a mindfulness approach compared to cognitive behavioural therapy. If you're the only trans-friendly person in Hamilton, for example, is a cognitive behavioural therapy specialist, well, you're back to square one again. Yes. So ultimately, we want people to just have the basics of trans inclusivity, which we mentioned earlier. And there's one other thing I really wanted to mention on health professionals. I'm no expert, but I'm told that a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists are trained to be very distant and impersonal. And I think that's a real issue for trans people who have faced so much abandonment, rejection, and ridicule. If you've got someone sitting across the room going, "So why did you say that? Why do you feel that way?" It's not really very warm. And so again, let's have, you know, be in the present moment for the person. And I think that that sort of textbook does need to be rewritten a lot. And it may be, you know, sort of sit parallel for gay, lesbian, bi as well. But yeah, I think that that's a real issue for trans people. And as someone who as a person has had to deal with emotional abandonment from family, not because of trans, but just generally, it's been a big issue to find mental health professionals who are just a bit warmer and a bit more human in that way, rather than this sort of almost robot-like approach from across the room. So, yeah, I really wanted to make that point.
It is funny you raise that, because in a few of our previous episodes, I've also heard of people with different situations saying they've gone to their doctor or their psychologist, and there's been this total lack of knowledge and awareness around it. And I guess there's a frustration there. You know, what can we do to help our doctors and our mental health professionals become more aware of the different gender identities that are out there, and how to deal with those people and how to help those people?
Yeah, look, there's a few things. I mean, in no particular order, we would like to see, well, I can only really speak for, say, LGBTI in every relevant tertiary course, psychology, psychiatry, medicine, social work, nursing, real off the top of the head, so to speak. There's probably others as well if we dug a bit deeper. So that would at least get people with some basic knowledge from their early training. And from a physical medical approach, often thing, you know, if it is taught, it's tucked in a corner and then forgotten. So when the doctor gets to the lecture on prostate cancer, it's all talked about as male-identified people, for example. Another classic is that everyone really should get breast checks. Every body is susceptible to breast cancer, but we see it as a cisgender women thing. So that's the first thing. But obviously, there's health professionals who have already graduated and are out there now. We are working, there's a trans and gender diverse working group of the state government who are looking to get some sort of online module going, which would at least do some basics and ease the pressure on the few good clinics we have, both public and private. So, and that would help the regional and rural setup. So you could go to your GP in Mildura or Mallacoota and, you know, wouldn't have to travel. And the other thing, though, in the meantime, declaring all interest, is Transgender Victoria does run a range of education sessions for, on whether it's LGBTI overall or trans and gender diverse focused. And Bi Alliance is also looking at doing more of those with a bi focus. So, you know, come and contact us. You'll help keep me paying for some coffee, but as well. So, yes, I do declare an interest, but seriously, we just, all we want is just for people to come and listen and learn. And as I say, we are looking at the two systemic issues of existing professionals and tertiary courses as well. I think that's could be a bit, you know, look, we've just got, that's one of those keep persisting ones. But yeah, just that flexibility, that inclusive service, both as the person and as, you know, in terms of the demographics, if people do want to talk about LGBTI, that the health professionals comfortable enough to work with it, and other things as well, polyamory, etc. Yeah.
For anyone who is listening who may be feeling that they are transgender, what kind of advice would you give to them?
Yeah, so although we're sitting here in Victoria, let's, you know, go beyond the Murray and border town, there are good resources around the country. Freedom Centre in Western Australia, Shine in South Australia, Gender Centre in Sydney are three that come to mind for those states. Just keep looking, tap in somewhere. So even if you are in, I don't know, Broome and the Freedom Centre's in Perth, give them a call and they'll be able to say, well, yeah, we do know of a counsellor in Broome or whatever, or so hopefully somewhere nearby, or maybe someone in Perth who can Skype. This, you know, we have got the world of technology, which is making it somewhat easier for people to come out. So just take a first step. It mightn't get you to exactly where you want, but it gets you on the road would be my huge thing. Reach out, connect, but also whatever works for you as a person. The Q-Life stories, which talk about what helped people get through things, are really important. And some people said it was the internet. Some people said it was music. All sorts of stuff. I've outed myself many times as a fan of so-called sports entertainment. and going, you know, watching the wrestling on the net or whatever is just a great sense of escapism and relaxation from, you know, some of the stresses of my particular world. So whatever works. There was a great story from Japan about a trans man who was struggling, and his health professional found out he was into anime and comics, that apparently there's heaps of trans characters in Japanese comics. So long as it's legal, ethical, and no one gets hurt, whatever's going to help you, you know, get through it as a person. And I think that is important to try to keep the whole life going. So that's your career, you know, your finances, that sort of thing. It's not easy. Yes, putting trans in there adds another layer, but tap into what works for you, whether it's your friends, find the supports, just take steps, you know, at your own pace. No need to rush, but just take a step, find some connection. And so you might go to a trans group and it's not quite for you, and then you hear of another one, and I'll give that a try, and then it might be the one. So it may not be you'll get from A to Z overnight, but, you know, if you keep going through B, C, D, etc., or you might sort of be able to at least miss a few letters and get to Z in the end. And, you know, the web, of course, is fantastic. You know, and ironically, for both trans and bi, we get so many calls from Victoria, Canada, or emails from Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. Oh, transgender Victoria, no, you're on the other side of the world. But pretty much in lots of cases, you'll find somewhere. And I'm personally, whilst I'm not a contact person, I'm on a couple of international lists, and often someone will say, does anyone know of any organisation in blah, blah, blah country? And someone will pop their hand up, oh, yeah, I know of this or someone. There's usually a connection somewhere. Find that connection would be my advice, hugely, hugely, hugely.
I think going down another layer again, if there are people out there who are feeling that they might be trans and they have that thought in their head that says, I'm broken, I'm flawed, you know, what will people, you know, I'll lose people if they discover this about me. What message would you have for them?
I acknowledge copyright on this. Daniel Whithouse, the fantastic GLBT groundbreaker, says try to get five people who are solidly behind you. So that could take some guesswork. If you've got a friend at school who seems pretty cool, and sort of says, well, I'm off to the equal marriage rally this weekend, you've probably, but they identify as heterosexual and cisgender, then you've probably got it, someone there you could give a shot to, and they'll say, yeah, I'll be totally supportive, and find a few more. Particularly if you're worried about coming out to family, have a foundation, a bolster underneath, I think is really important, is one thing. Yeah. Have those five supports in hand, I think is critical. And then just build onto those strengths, you know, build a foundation and then build around it would be the main go. And yeah, just tap into the resources that are there, and, you know, Switchboard in Victoria, the Q-Life network around the country, who can do Skype and internet type of communication as well. Just stay connected, tapped in, you know, as far as I'm aware, every LGBTI person I've met needed a bit of a battery cable at first. And then you're charged, and then you hopefully you can pass your battery cables to charge someone else. But you can't get there. That's the thing. I think it's really important. And the other thing I wanted to say is we do have to talk, sadly, about the difficulties of LGBTI people. I just think we need to also start talking about how damn awesome we are.
Absolutely.
You know, I look at people like, you know, the legal mind of Michael Kirby, the wit of Ellen DeGeneres, you know, the acting skills of Laverne Cox, or the Wachowski sisters who make the Matrix films. Look at the genius in there. Both are trans, Lily and Lana, which I just think is awesome. Georgie Stone. Look at all these amazing people with our strengths, you know, our ingenuity. I always say personally, give me a crack, give me open slather on the corporate sector, I'll get rid of the board level inequity overnight because I'll find the barriers. We have unique perspectives on life that if we put them, got them into society rather than just being demeaned all the time, we, sounds cheesy, but we could change the world a bit. And I think we need to start looking at that as well. Remember that trans people have lots to offer. So do, of course, gay, lesbian, bi, intersex, everyone else. We don't have to be put down by anyone. So tap in, try to work through it. I'm not saying it's easy all the time, but once you get in there, it can turn for the better. And, you know, I just wish we could get to a point where we really started valuing people and celebrating people in terms of diversity.
And that's the thing. My own personal message to anyone who's thinking they might be trans out there is that, you know what, everyone out there has these thoughts and these feelings that they're flawed or they're wrong or faulty. That's normal. That's what our mind wants to tell us. It doesn't mean that's necessarily true. And I think for everyone in the LGBTQIA community, it takes a certain amount of courage to be authentic and to be real and to be who we are. And that changes who we are inside. For the trans community, their change is also on the outside.
Mm.
And the level of courage that has to go there is breathtakingly inspiring. So to anyone who's listening who has made that transition and who has really brought out who they really are, you have my absolute respect, because that's not something everyone can do. And to have done it and to be the authentic, real you for the world to see is something that everyone else in the world should take by example. It's incredible.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think that, you know, trans people, bi people, you know, it is, you know, sort of, but everyone, it's, you know, we're getting some progress. It is, you know, a bit easier now to be, let's say, a 25 to 50-year-old gay or lesbian, but really all the other demographics, it's still a huge challenge, but it can be worked through. You can get to a point where you can have at least a reasonable quality of life. I'm still putting in my lottery tickets, hoping for a magical quality of life. But, you know, look, it's possible. I wish there was a magic wand, but there isn't a magic wand. It will take a little bit of effort and work and looking at yourself as a person. Also, you know, coming out, yes. And then the other thing, look after coming out at any beliefs that you've built up as a person. And, you know, unfortunately, it does take LGBTI people longer to get to that because we've got that layer of topsoil to get through first. But, you know, also just think, okay, I can get past this. I can be a totally whole person, an authentic soul. It might take some work, but it's doable. And we're seeing people like that come through. And that to me is, you know, great. So it's doable. And, you know, find some supportive resources, whatever works for you in terms of personal growth, whether it's a supportive mental health professional, whether it's personal development books or a course or maybe a discussion group if you're that, for in the right way, whatever works, just keep going. You know, don't have to hang on to the past if it hasn't served you. It can be, we'll say, psychologically, environmentally disposed of in the right way, and you can have the best life you can. It's possible to do it.
Yeah. Ultimately, reach out, find like-minded people.
Yeah.
Discuss what you're feeling, because you'll discover that other people feel that too.
Yeah.
And allow yourself to let go of that negative thought, because it's the only thing that's holding you back. So, Sally, perhaps if we could just talk about your journey as a person then. What kind of things have you done then over the course of your life? There's allowed you to just continue to build acceptance over time.
Yeah, so going back to that point in 98 where I'd pretty much I'd affirmed my female identity full-time, for me, I had to work out whether I had surgery or not. For me personally, that was I didn't feel I needed it. Some people might, but that was another issue. But then it was stuff to work out as a person that I'd never perhaps looked at or understood or had the resources to. I do have a separate, I'll say, mental health situation. I'm recognised as having cyclothymia, so a sort of degree of mood ups and downs. I've learnt to manage that over time. Thankfully, it doesn't affect me as much as it used to. It used to be quite debilitating. I'd really be out of it for, say, a week. Now it's I managed to get out of bed most mornings, maybe a bit later than some, but, you know, that sort of thing. But there were other parts of me that I had to learn to, well, I'll say claim. You can't even say reclaim because I'd never had them. I am, in psychological terms, an introvert. I get my energy from within, but I think we live in a society that has a lot of extrovert bias. And I had to learn, well, no, I don't have to go out all the time. I don't have to, and I'm being a bit exaggerated, I don't have to do a really firm handshake and look people in the eye and that sort of thing. And then the other thing I discovered, which is this, in a way, there's sort of issues here where people see it as a negative, but I think it's a positive. I identify very strongly with the highly sensitive person trait, as, you know, Elaine Aron is the sort of groundbreaker in this area. And when I stumbled onto the self-test and got 18 out of 24 that I don't like loud noises or really violent movies or that sort of thing, I was like, whoa, there's not, again, there's not something wrong with me. So I've had to, you know, reclaim those parts of me, which has been really helpful. And I see my ability now. HSPs do have a unique viewpoint on life. And although it's not the same thing, I think people on the autism spectrum, they just have a different way of looking at things. And I do get, as much as I can say it, I get frustrated by the way we look at people with autism and put young people on drugs and all the rest. Again, let's value people. If you've got something, it's there for a reason. It's a strength. So there's those issues. But other things I've had to work through, I did work with a life coach in 2004. And some people may find, you know, may have seen a very cheesy image of the life coaching thing. If you find a good one, who's just doing their job well, and the, you know, sure, you set your three goals in three areas of your life, but of course it's the journey. And not surprisingly, when we got to about session five, my coach said, "Do you mind if I give you some feedback?" "Sure." And she said, "Do you realize you see things in a mostly in a glass half empty way?" And I hadn't realized it, but it's totally understandable. It was totally non-judgmental in how she said it. But I was seeing it that way, and not surprisingly, you know, it's understandable that a lot of LGBTI people would. And so she saw something in me that I couldn't see and helped me get to a better stage in how I saw myself, and I got more confident and was able to start generating more energy and needing less of other people's battery cables. There's been other things along the way. I actually am a firm believer in holistic work, and I've worked with body workers along the way to shift energies out. And, you know, I think that's really important. We can have energies and beliefs that are stuck, and doing body work can shift that. And that's been helpful. One of the things that I hadn't quite realized in myself was, and this ties in with some deeper parental stuff, I hasten to add, not physical or sexual abuse, so no real trigger warning, was that one of my parents, when I was growing up, you couldn't do anything right. So if hypothetically outside today, the simple example, the weather is 22 degrees and sunny, you'd say, "Hey, it's 22 and sunny." Parent would go, "No, it's 18 and windy." So next time it was 22 and sunny, you'd go, "Hey, it's 18 and windy." And they go, "Don't be stupid, it's 22 and sunny." So there's going to be one of two ways you're going to go there in simple terms. You're either going to get aggressive and argue, but I went the passive way. So when people pushed me around, I didn't know how to take it. I'd just dump it. So they were dumping their aggro on me. Doing the body work stuff helped me shift that belief and tap into people who said, "Well, you just don't have to be that way." And I was able to stand up for myself more. And that helped my mental health massively to do that. Because if you're letting people dump all their bad energy and anger into you, not good. Now I have my own mental health and it's improved. Also, the other thing is I have had to work through that. It has a deeper level, that story, in that there was some emotional abandonment. Two people who know my family well from the outside, and I just won't identify them, but can look objectively enough, say, "Gosh, there's not a lot of warmth at your time in your family." And so I did feel emotional abandonment a lot, which made it hard to form relationships of all sorts. And I did find some good resources on how to deal with it in the end. I thought at first it was rejection, but it was abandonment. And they're slightly different, even though they could be cousins. And just, you know, visualize the world that you wanted, that sort of thing. It does come up reasonably well in a search on abandonment. But the thing is, I've had to overcome that as well. So I say all those things, one, to say look at the whole person, but two, again, whatever works for you. It doesn't have to be standard, I call it talking and listening, counselling. It can be hypnotherapy, which I would add has served me very well. And works better for me than a lot of standard sort of approaches. It can be body work. It can be personal development books. It can be whatever works that's, you know, legal and ethical, really. So that's the other thing. Try whatever technique works for you. And if it works, whether it's exercise, whether it's whatever, go for it. And that can help just get you onto a path of feeling fuller as well.
Sally, I personally cannot thank you enough for generously offering your time today to come and talk to us. I really feel that some of the things you've said today, I hope, really resonate with people listening so that they can feel capable of moving on from any of those negative thoughts that might hold them back and moving towards being the kind of person they know they really are. And so for that, I really thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, look, total pleasure. I hope it just makes one person's life a bit different. But even if it's more, then we're on a winner. Thanks for the time. Glad to share the story.
Great. And so thank you for everyone for listening today. Be sure to check out our podcast for the next issue. And we shall chat to you then. Take care.